life for no child of mine.
This is Jefferson Airplane's Two Heads. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. This is Don't Make Me Dance with DJ JD Acker. And coming up, we have enough Montreal tune.
Language, they built miles of defenses, they're not numbed by oppression. It's different for girls from when they are children. They're depersonalized, aggressively objectified. They want to make a scene, they want to be adored, and then they want to be left alone when they get bored with that. It's different for girls, they are mercurial creatures, not a masculine dissonance or sexual currency.
It's Different for Girls by Of Montreal, and you're listening to Don't Make Me Dance with WMFO in Medford. This is DJ JD Acker. I'm here every week at 10 a.m. right after the fabulous Bill and his show MU. So today I thought I'd start out with a few tunes that I think draw upon the same sort of I don't know if it's irony, but It's Different for Girls is interesting just because it's election season and Tuesday is going to be a big deal for everybody, and WMFO is going to be airing out of Ho Tung that evening for election night extravaganza. So we'll be giving you updates on political commentary and updates on the election status, etc., throughout the evening. So stay tuned for that, 91.5 in Medford. But I think it's particularly interesting to think about the role of satire in politics. And I was just drawing back kind of my perspective on this election back to when it was McCain and Sarah Palin and Obama and Joe Biden. I was thinking back to the SNL skits and how watered down the satire eventually became with Sarah Palin, and how often comedy is supposed to be our vehicle for truth in media today, or people seem to be drawn to shows like what the Colbert Show used to be because of, or what SNL could have been, because it's supposed to be expressing something deeper. And I think a British sketch show did something similar. They created this figure called Loads of Money to make fun of Madeleine Albright's policies. And I think that sort of extreme approach to making fun of a political figure can be effective only insofar as it's touching upon deeper issues without watering them down. And I think you saw with SNL, they eventually invited Sarah Palin on the show and media and politics become one. And I was thinking about doing this show in Spanish as a sort of satire within itself, that we're in this country that wants to potentially, or 50% of us potentially want to build a wall and send away every person that's an illegal alien or not a citizen of the United States, and send them away when that's exactly what our country was founded upon, is the idea of a slow change and a country of immigrants. And the melting pot can be idealistic at times, especially considering our history with Native Americans and slavery, but it's been a process of every single period in American history has been xenophobic towards a certain group that is commanding the lower caste labor scheme. And they eventually fought, protested, and overcame that. You could see the xenophobia against Italians in the 20s and Germans, German farmers and Polish farmers coming in and being discriminated against. You could go back to the Japanese and the internment camps in the 50s. You can think back to even women when in their right to vote and being restricted from the ballot until they were able to rise up and fight. And what's happened in our political culture, our sensitive culture today, is you don't see the same types of protestation happening. And for that reason, I felt particularly compelled on Monday to come out and support the janitors at Tufts, a majority of which don't speak English or speak English very minimally. And we're trying to fight for fair and full-time contracts for their jobs at the university. And they did a nice, the Tufts Labor Coalition did a nice little infographic on the fact that they're expected to cover the equivalent space of 2,500 square feet every hour. and 40% of the workers are required to leave their job a half hour early on the fourth day as they're to qualify themselves or continue qualifying themselves as part-time workers and restrict them from getting healthcare benefits for their themselves or their families. So we came out and there was a demonstration, and it's got me thinking just all of the it was organized mainly by the workers, and there was Tufts Labor Coalition leaders present, and there was signage in English, but the chants that we were all doing were in Spanish. And we were in front of Tony Monaco's house because that was when the contract negotiation was going on until midnight of that Monday night. And they actually were, the happy end to this story is they did change the contract, but and they're working to negotiate. They got a salary raise, they got a higher percentage of full-time job offerings and that sort of thing. And they're working through the logistics of implementing that. But it's interesting to think about the isolation that comes with language, and especially in this country that doesn't have an official national language. What's fascinating to me is to see the discrimination that can come just by an inability to a physical or an actual inability to hear what the other person is saying. And so keep that in mind this election day, that the people that most need your support and most need your consideration when you're voting perhaps don't have as strong of a voice given language barriers or cultural barriers or access to even popular media streams, given the news sources and type of access to wealth you need to be able to be on air. And that's what's so great about WMFO is we welcome all members of the community on air, and it is free forum, and you can say what you want. And I was listening to this podcast made by Suzanne Muchin, who's a Tufts alum, and she's back in Chicago, and her good friend. And they had a little bit a couple weeks ago on their podcast, The Big Payoff, about this concept spurring a lot of controversy and discussion about what is the appeal of Trump and this word authenticity. So I want to share that with you this morning, and then we'll get back to the music. But you're listening to WMFO in Medford, and maybe I'll try to do some Spanish later on, depending on who my audience is, who we can access. So again, this is The Big Payoff, and I hope you guys enjoy the show.
Rushed home to listen to the debate on CNN. And, you know, of course, it's a Donald Trump show, and I'm everybody's, it's like watching a train wreck. Everybody's nauseated about it, and yet we're all riveted. Riveted.
I mean, it was the best reality television ever, especially when he got into it with Carla Fiorini. But I have to say, I had a double reaction. I was completely repelled and ashamed to be in a country that might, in fact, make this guy our Republican candidate, Donald Trump. And at the same time, I really understood, the more he talked, what the attraction is, not in me, but what others' attraction is to someone who unabashedly says, yeah, I don't know anything about these issues, but I'll hire people who will. And everything he said was just basic, common sense, totally real.
Except for it was more than that. Yes, basic sense and real, but there was more. I am 100% convinced that there is only one lesson, one to be taken away from the Trump rise to power in this election, which is we are starving for authenticity, starving for it, which is so surreal and bizarre in a world in which I feel like, how can we get any more authentic? We're all taking naked selfies.
Well, that's the thing.
I'm not
totally
taking a naked selfie.
Well, you're taking a lot of selfies, though. And so here's the thing. I don't understand why in an era of reality television and basically, as you say, putting a camera into the guts of everything we do, what is the theory about why we're so asking for authenticity? I have a feeling that authenticity is like a red herring, like people use that word. But do they really mean authenticity? Or do they, because maybe reality television looks, it looks fake to me, fake real. Let me be fake real.
Yeah. Well, Trump is on a stage. I mean, he's putting on a show. He's playing a guy on television. I mean, it's sort of the other thing that's very parallel to this is anybody who's been watching the Stephen Colbert, you know, new show, his new late night show, which has him as his real self. He's actually being Stephen Colbert, not the guy who was pretending to be a stupid right wing, you know, politician. He's playing himself and people hate it. People hate it. They're like, where's the other guy? That fake guy. We want him back.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. I think we have such a complicated and distorted relationship to, quote, reality, that when there's this demand for authenticity, we don't really mean, we do. We mean shedding all of these layers of fake real that have become our entertainment. It's reality television isn't real. You put seven young people in a fake house in a fake neighborhood under fake conditions and ask them to be real.
Well, we're using the wrong word here, because I don't know that you're right. Authenticity may be a red herring. I wonder if it's that we are starving for people to be vulnerable, starving for people to just say out loud, you know what? I don't know.
Yep.
Or guess
I think
that's really
it.
Did wake up like this, and it's not pretty. That's vulnerability.
I think that's really true. I think that we are all so scared about how fast things are moving and how uncertain the future is everywhere you look, whether it's the financial markets or climate change. Anything, everywhere we look down the road, it's like, oh, shit. And when you're in that...
You can say that, oh, crap. We'll have to take that out.
No, that's not true. On a podcast,
really?
We can say, of course we can.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Say shit.
Yeah. So, but we look down the road and go, oh, no, what's coming? That when you're that scared, you want to share realness and vulnerability with other people. I think that's exactly right.
I have one more theory about it. So if you watch the candidates who were prepared, you know, really prepared with sort of stump speech like, you know, talks for a minute in response to any question, you know that they were trained down to the wire by their handlers. Anytime they veered from that script, it was awkward. Because they weren't vulnerable. They were so completely locked down that even a pause or a, well, or anything that took them off. Whereas I think with Trump, he's stumbling all over the place all the time.
He can't stumble. He doesn't care. You think he's got handlers telling him exactly what to say and not to say, go get out of here.
But this is my point. When you're so buttoned down, it would be as if you and I, instead of doing this podcast, truly off the cuff, we don't have a script, we're not reading. If we were in fact scripted, and when we were scripted, back in our earliest days of radio, when we were scripted, we were so terrible at what we did because we were so terrified of veering from the script.
God, and that's so true. That feeling of veering from the script where it's like, uh-oh, I'm suddenly naked.
Yes.
But Trump walks out there naked.
Yes.
He's like, you can't scare me.
Yeah, he's the Lena Dunham of politics.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, ouch. I hope she wasn't listening. Lena, I love you. She's just the best. She is actually a role model for this, and I'm being completely serious. One of the reasons that she's risen to fame is because she has let us see her belly hanging out of her boy shorts.
It's actually so amazing, but you know what? I'm sorry to say this. I have now concluded that it's extreme narcissism. It's not like, wow, she's so brave. She's just so in love with herself that she thinks actually she looks amazing.
So maybe this is our conclusion, because Trump has those qualities too.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe it is a combination of authenticity and vulnerability, but not one or the other. It's a both and. Coupled with extreme narcissism that really does put you in a position of feeling like anything you do or anything you say is okay. Maybe that's what we
and
all want.
I think it is. And I think coupled with that is something that he and Lena Dunham also share. I mean, they are separated at birth, I guess, in some way. Is he has such thick skin.
Yeah.
There's nothing he's heard about himself that he hasn't heard a million times. It just rolls right off him.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, we all need to take a little bit of Trump and blend it into our DNA so that we're not like Trump, but we're able to actually be more vulnerable and exposed. He's clearly showing the country that people are starving for that.
Off script, that people can, you can live off script.
Yeah. All right. That's it. I'm going off script.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, so I guess on that concept of authenticity, I've been thinking a lot about how you approach that in the workforce, and I would love to know, I guess, the solution to being real when you're not allowed to be real, when you have to be an image. And so that's my thought, and think about that on Election Day, if you so please. This is Mac DeMarco's Treat Her Better. And after that, we have a few tracks building up to a crescendo. And then we'll go from there. You're listening to WMFO in Medford.
Something you enjoy. If having heard, your life's really so important.
that was Bluish, and you have one more track.
And you better go, 'cause you're a
That was Home by LCD Sound System. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. This is DJ JD Acker, and you're listening to Don't Make Me Dance. And that crescendo of Home is a shout out to my great sweet Chicago. And we had a big night last night. So in honor of our little cubbies, I have Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And after that, we are going to celebrate another type of little success to come, which is the release on November 11th of the new Tribe Called Quest, in honor of the death of one of the singers. So this is Harry Carey.
Good and loud. All right, Gary. All one. All two. All three. Take me out to the
So that's 108-year streak broken. Beat them 8-7 last night. Big deal, big deal. So now it's time for my PSA. We have this one. If the electrical power and everything else that depended on it, like cellular communication systems and the internet, shut down, would you freak out? How long could you stay at home with the supplies you've currently got? Do you have enough stored water and ready-to-eat food to last 3 days? How about a week? Unexpected situations such as a power outage, water disruption, or other emergencies can happen at any time, so be prepared. In addition to food and water, it's also a great idea to keep a few flashlights and other non-flammable light sources handy. Candles and other open flames can be very dangerous, and the worst possible time to cause a fire is when there's some other emergency going on. That's a public service message from ready.gov at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. So thanks for listening to that. Now it's time for A Tribe Called Quest, and keep on listening to WMFO in Medford.
Yo, microphone check, 1, 2, what is this? The 5 foot assassin with the roughneck business. I float like gravity, never had a cavity. Got more rhymes than the one that's got family. No need to sweat arsenios to gain some type of fame. No shame in my game, cause I always be the same. Styles upon styles is what I have. You wanted just to fight for, but you still don't know the half. I sport new balance sneakers to avoid a narrow path. Messing around with this to catch the size of the. I never half step, cause I'm not a half stepper. Drink a lot of soda, so they call me Dr. Pepper. Refuse to compete with BS competition. Your name is special, so won't you suckle with dimension? I never walk the street, think it's all about me. Even though deep in my heart, it really could be. I just try my best to like go all out. Some might even say you're shorty black, you're bugging out.
Zulu Nation, mother's last creation. Minds get flooded, ejaculation. Right on the 2-inch tape, the abstract poet incognito runs the cape, not the best, not the worst. And occasionally I curse to get my point across, so bust the force as I go in between the grit and the dirt. Listen to the mission, listen, missions I do work. As I crack the monotone, chilling up the jazz, so get your own. Smoking R&B, cause they try to dupe me, or the best of the back, but they can't do rap. It's abstract, original. You can't get your own, and that's pitiful. I know I'd be the man if I cold yank the plug on R&B, but I can't, and that's bug. Surrounded, posted, just like a migraine pounding.
mic, please. Hip hop is living. Can't yank the plug. If you do, the result will end up kind of blown.
I am not an invalid, although I used to smoke the weed out. Ali Shaheed Muhammad used to say I had to be out. Scheming on the babies with the crazy booming back buns. Pushing off the real hard just so we can have the big fun. When I left Marisi, I was Boulevard status. Battling an MC was when Tip was at his hottest. It was one MC after one MC. What the world could they be wanting to see from little old me? Do I have the formula to save the world? Or was it just because I used to smoke the women and all the girls? I'm the type of brother with the crazy extended hand, kid. This by all my brothers, I was all up with my man did. Supposed to be my man, but now I wonder cause you're feeble. I go out with the strongies and I separate the eagles. It's your brain against my mind. My nose about to boot out. Or your nasty kids, even though you see I'm bug out.
And so that album's going to come out Friday, November 11th. It's coming out with Epic Records, and it's going to be called We Got It From Here, Thank You For Your Service. It'll feature Elton John, Kendrick Lamar, Andre 3000, Jack White, Busta Rhymes, you name it. It's going to be on the album, so get pumped for that. And that's all in honor of Fife, so November 11th, Veterans Day. And it'll be great. So they're super excited, and I am too, for seeing that album. We have a few more tracks for you this morning here at WMFO in Medford, and I have a little announcement also, just thinking about Tribe Called Quest and their introduction to the mix between jazz and rap that's become so popular with and associated with breaking culture. At Harvard on Saturday from 3 to 7 is the Intercollegiate Jam. It was in Canada last year, so take it while you can. Spend the $5, come out, see a really cool jam. There's going to be kids and adults from all around the country coming out to break. And the original concept of break dancing and the reason it's called breaking is because they would take music like Tribe Called Quest or funk, jazz inspired hip hop or rap music, and the DJs would literally scratch the record, and the break in that music would be when the dancers would come out in cypher and do their moves. So it'll be really cool to see the influence of different types of music and the evolution of the dance form over these past two decades into kind of popular culture as well, now seeing with America's Best Dance Crew, etc. A more pure and ground up form at the Harvard Jam this weekend. So come check that out. There's a Facebook event for it. And I'm also going to plug an event I'm volunteering at in 2 weeks. November 19th and 20th is the MIT Arts Hacking Conference. And it's a hackathon specifically dedicated to arts, music, design, dance, augmented reality, virtual reality, any integration between what you're passionate about and startup and technology environments can be combined. And it'll be a great opportunity to see some professionals at the conference speaking about their trends, forecasts for the future, their work, their history and experience with various industries, and also having the chance to develop your own product over the course of a weekend and have really cool mentor support. So that's at MIT. Again, it is a Facebook event, but it's called hackingarts16.com, I think is the URL. But if you look up MIT Hacking Arts Conference, it'll show up immediately. So it's 10:50 in the morning. You're going to see me again next week at 10 a.m. Don't Make Me Dance. We'll be here for you. And I'm hoping to do at least half of my set in Spanish if all goes well and I am not completely angry with the election outcome. But we shall see. And that's the exciting part about democracy, is it not? So you have a couple more tracks coming back to my roots, I guess, funk soul. And I'll see you again next week. Thanks so much for listening. And this is me signing off for now.
situations. If the young would be listened to, for what they really know is true. Respect for the people. I'm so wild and free. Wild and free is the way I wanna be. Making a new day, leading in a new way. Respect for the people.
That's Wild and Free by Curtis Mayfield. I have one more track, and then you're going to be listening to Chuck Morse on WMFO.
Yeah. don't mind me, I'm just a little nervous here. Let's see, this is the level. Chuck Morse launching live programming right here at WMFO 91.5 AM Tufts University, Medford, Somerville. Welcome to the program. You're welcome to join me. 855-915-9636 is the phone number if you'd like to join the conversation. 855-915-9636. And I'm just setting things up here. The show is also live on my Facebook page, so you can check that out as well. And obviously, today is just 3 days or 4 days before Election Day. So what else to talk about other than who you're with, Trump or Clinton? You know, let's. I'd love to get a reading on the Tufts University community, on the Medford Somerville community, with regard to where you are on the vote. I can tell you from my own perspective as an Uber driver, which I've been doing since I've been off the air about a year ago, that when I started driving Uber, I'd say around March of this year, and doing an informal poll of my Uber passengers, the vote was overwhelmingly for Hillary Clinton. I would say probably 9 out of 10 people that I polled were for Hillary Clinton. The one person out of 10 that was for Donald Trump.